Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that you're listening to this program today. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in Rancho Cucamonga, you can always join us on our live stream. The live stream is www.theseedchristianfellowship.online.church. And you can click on, you can worship, you can chat, you can have prayer concerns. We would love to have you join us. If you missed the live stream, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is the Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer is that we will all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Today, I would like to return to our study of the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5. We've been in Matthew 5 for quite a while. If you've missed any of these, you can go to our website and click on the sermons. Matthew chapter 5 through 7, well, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. It is Jesus's most famous teaching. I encourage you to take some time this week to read through chapters 5 through 7 and just see what God has to say to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Stop and pause on a word or phrase and reflect on what Jesus is saying. I always say it's good to read God's word out loud to yourself. Maybe you can only read a section at a time. Read it out loud. Faith comes by hearing the word. Well, before we turn to God's living word, let us come to the throne of the living God in prayer. Let us pray. God of all creation, we ask that you create in us a clean heart and renew our spirits as we worship today. Help us to understand what it means to be poor in spirit, to mourn and to be meek, and today to be hungry and thirsty for you. Amen. What I'd like to do is to read the passage in our normal fashion from the NIV, which is the New International Version, and then lay Eugene Peterson's The Message translation alongside it to reflect on these words in a little different way. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 5, 1-12. We'll be in the Beatitudes. We're going to read it in two different versions, the NIV version and the Message version, which is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. Let us listen for God's word. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew chapter 5, 1-12 from the NIV. Now, listen to it from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. I love reading Eugene Peterson. What a wonderful scholar and pastor he was. Many books he's written. He paraphrased it. He said, "You're blessed." When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, that committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more or no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At that moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind, and your heart put right, then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when you discover or your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit you. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even for though they don't like it or you, I do, and all of heaven applauds, and I know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. That's the paraphrase version. Did you know that in New York City, there are 8 million cats and 11 million dogs? New York City is basically concrete and steel. When you have put a pet in New York City, and it dies, you can't just go out in the backyard and bury it. The city authorities decided that for $50, they would dispose of your deceased pet for you. One lady was enterprising. She thought, I can render a service to people in the city and save them money. She placed an ad in the newspaper, and the ad said, when your pet dies, I will come and take care of the carcass for you for $25. The lady would go to the local Salvation Army, buy an old suitcase for $2, then when someone would call about his or her pet, she would go to the home and put the deceased pet into the suitcase. She would then take a ride on the subway where there were thieves. She would set up the suitcase and she would act like she wasn't watching. The thief would come by and steal her suitcase. She'd look up and say, wait, stop, thief. My guess is the people who stole those suitcases got a real surprise when they got home. A lot of us, like those New York thieves, we're chasing after happiness and we grab what we think will be or what will give us happiness. However, when we get it, it just doesn't quite deliver. When I was pastoring a church in Missouri, we took our youth group on a mission trip to Tennessee. We stopped in Memphis on the way, and we visited Elvis Presley's home called Graceland. I've always wondered why it was called Graceland. The original owners, Dr. and Mrs. Thomas Moore, named it after their Aunt Grace. I don't think Elvis Presley ever understood this fourth beatitude. His life was a pitiful pursuit of materialism and sensuality. In Elvis's heyday, he earned between $5 million and $6 million a year. It is estimated that he grossed $100 million in his first 2 years of stardom. His favorite car was his 1960 Cadillac limousine. The top was covered with pearl white Nagogahide. The body was sprayed with 40 coats of a specially prepared paint that included crushed diamonds and fish scales. Nearly all the metal trim was plated with 18-karat gold. Inside the car, there were two gold flake telephones, a gold vanity case carrying a gold electric razor and gold hair clippers, an electric shoe buffer, a gold-plated television, a record player, an amplifier, air conditioning, and a refrigerator that can make ice in 2 minutes. To the outside world, it appeared that Elvis had everything he needed. Elvis's sensuality is legendary. Those friends and relatives most familiar with his state in the last months of his life tragically reveal that Elvis had very much become the victim of his appetites. He was what he had eaten in the profoundest sense. Elvis Presley's tragic life dramatizes the significance of the Lord's teaching in this fourth beatitude, because in it, Jesus sets forth the appetite and the menu that brings spiritual well-being. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst. The truth is that many of us today do not know what it is like to be hungry or thirsty. When we are thirsty, we can go to the faucet, and out pours water that is drinkable, clean, and pure. That's not so true for so many people around the world. When we are hungry, we can stop at any fast food place and pick up something for a few dollars or so. Again, that's not true for many people in different parts of the world. We need to put ourselves into the context of this passage. When Jesus gathered those who were following him on that mountain when he taught the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus knew that they knew what it was like to be hungry and thirsty. A working man's wage in that day was one denarius, not a wage on which anyone ever got fat or full. A working man in Palestine ate meat only once a week, and in Palestine, the working man and the day laborer were never far from the borderline of real hunger and actual starvation. Now think for a moment. Just pause and ponder this. Think for a moment of a traveler on a journey in the area around Jerusalem. In the middle of that journey through the arid desert on a hot wind could bring up a sandstorm. We were down in Palm Springs recently for a memorial service. The temperature was 112 degrees. The sign leading out of town said, "Beware of blowing sand." I thought of what it would be like to be back in Jesus' time walking through the desert and to hear him preach. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We invite you to go to our website and click on the prayer icon. If you have a prayer concern, our prayer team would love to pray for you. If you need a Bible, we would love to send you a Bible. You can go to our website, click on the prayer concern, and write up your prayer concern. We'll pray for you. Or you can write me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. I'll get you a Bible, and I will pray for you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your fears, your doubts, your guilt, your shame. But I know the one who can come and bring you peace, peace that surpasses all understanding, and that is Jesus. We're talking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. If a person in those days, I'm putting you in the context, I always say, put yourself in the story and put the story in you. If a person were to walk through the desert areas of Jerusalem, there would be nothing for him to do but to wrap his head in his hooded cloak, turn his back to the wind, and wait while the swirling sand filled his nostrils and his throat until he was likely to suffocate, until he was parched with an overpowering thirst. Can you imagine being so hungry and poor that you only ate meat once a week? Can you imagine the wind blowing sand in your face until your throat was so parched that you thought you would die of thirst? Well, I can't really imagine that. The closest I've ever come to know what it's like to be hungry and thirsty was when I wrestled in college and I had to get down to a wrestling weight. I dropped a lot of weight to get down to 142 pounds back in those days. I would live on ice cubes for days. Sometimes I'd ask my wife to flavor some of the ice cubes with unsweetened Kool-Aid so that my thirst would not be so bad and I would at least be quenched a little bit. When Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled," he is teaching that the ways of this world and the things of this world will never, ever fill you. The Greek word used for hunger and thirst are present active verbs. Now, that doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, but in the Greek, when Jesus uses a present active verb, he's telling us that the action never stops. It's a continuous, ongoing action. The more accurate way to translate these words would be those who are hungering and always hungering, and those who thirst and are always thirsty will be filled. Maybe a good so what question right now. What are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? Well, another interesting point I've learned this week was that we will be filled not with a bite, not with a morsel, but we're going to be filled with the entire, well, enchilada. We aren't just going to stop into, well, McDonald's or get a Big Mac. We're going to get the Big Mac combo and supersize it, or get the In-N-Out with everything on it. We're going to be more, it's going to be more than enough to be filled with. That's what it means in this, when we translate the Greek. It's going to be more than enough. So what? So what? What are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? It's, you know, as a pastor on the radio, I don't get to see your faces. I don't get to see who you are. I don't know where, when you listen to this, or what time of day you are listening. I don't even know what's going on in your life, but I know that all of us are searching for something, and Jesus is the answer. He says, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. Star Wars creator George Lucas described how the young Anakin Skywalker became the evil Darth Vader. If you ever follow that series, this is what Lucas says. He turns into Darth Vader because he gets attached to things. Pause and ponder that a minute. He turns into Darth Vader because he gets attached to things. He can't let go of his mother. He can't let go of his girlfriend. He can't let go of anything. Things make you greedy. And when you're greedy, you're on the path to the dark side, because you fear you're going to lose those things, that you're not going to have the power you need to keep them. Just recently, I went to visit and do home communions, and I sat at the bedside of a wonderful Christian saint who has ALS, which is a paralyzing disease and a really terrible way to die. And I asked if I could pray for her, and I told her that some of the ladies were meeting, and we were meeting for a Bible study, and I said, can I tell them anything? And her words from her, well, I would say her deathbed, is she said, tell the people to not be selfish. Well, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll be filled. We know what happened to Darth Vader. Jesus says that when we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, righteousness is a lifestyle or living that aligns your life with God's ways. The actual Hebrew word means to walk in a right path. An easy way to think of it is righteousness. Well, righteousness is right living. Righteousness is right living, walking in a straight path. So how do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? I think of the opening lines of Psalm 42, which says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? One of my favorite stories of Jesus' miracles is when he feeds the 5,000 men with a few loaves and two fishes. In John 6, Jesus feeds all those who had gathered. 5,000 men, women, and children. The crowd could have been around 10,000 people. The scriptures teach us that this whole crowd was satisfied. Jesus told his disciples to gather up the crumbs so that nothing was wasted. What a powerful thought. Jesus says that nothing will be wasted. Then Jesus gives one of his great I am statements in John 6:35. He declares, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never go hungry, and those who believe in me will never thirst. John 6:35. So what? What is it that you're panting for? What is it that you're thirsting for? What is it that you're hungry for? So what is it that you long for? What are you hungry for? Jesus is saying that if we come to him, we will never be hungry, And if we believe in him, we'll never be thirsty. In the Beatitudes, Jesus is telling us that if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that is right living, we'll be filled. Look again at Peterson's translation. I'll read it to you. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. In 1987, I made a grace weekend. I was challenged to read my Bible for 15 minutes a day. That was when my wife and I read about Billy Graham and Pat Robertson and how they read 5 Psalms and a book and a chapter of Proverbs a day. They read 5 chapters or 5 Psalms a day and 1 chapter of Proverbs a day. I started reading my Bible. I wrote my thoughts down in my Bible. I started journaling about what I read. I started buying other books that would help me to understand my Bible. Well, 31 years later, I'm still reading my Bible. Jesus' words are true for me. The more I hunger and thirst for right living, I find the answers to my life right here in this book called the Bible. Our Bible study groups are starting back up at the Seed. We'd love to have you join us. The men's group meets on Monday night at 6:30. We meet in person and on Zoom. We have a Bible study for men, women, couples, married, singles on Wednesday night. Again at 6:30 in person and on Zoom. And we have a women's group that's doing a great study on Thursday night. And we would love to have you join. If you find you're hungering and thirsting more for God, start reading your Bible and join a study group. You don't have to know anything. Just start where you are. Remember that grace retreat I talked about in 1987? My wife went on it too. And I remember when she came home, she said she had signed up to read her Bible for an hour a day. It wasn't long before she told me she just can't do it. She started with 5 minutes a day. It's taken her 30 years to even be able to say she's read her Bible for an hour a day. Your so what? Your so what is asking yourself this question. What is it that I hunger and thirst for? What is it that I hunger and thirst for? Does it satisfy me? Do you hunger and thirst for more? More food? More money? More clothes? More fame? More fortune? More power? More cars? More homes? More trinkets? Do they satisfy you? I heard someone once say that within the human heart is a Jesus-shaped hole that will never be filled with things. That Jesus-shaped hole needs these words of life in order to be filled and satisfied. Darth Vader went to the dark side because he thought material things would satisfy. Elvis made over $100 million and learned too late that money could never satisfy him. Today's beatitude is really pretty simple. Turn to God and hunger and thirst after him, and you'll be filled. Not a morsel, not a bite, but you'll be filled to the entire fullness, the full enchilada of the living words of life. My challenge is simple. If you've never opened the Bible, find 5 minutes today and read a few Psalms and pick up a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and read a chapter. Don't be afraid to write in your Bible. The Holy Spirit's going to bring thoughts to your mind. As I read, I'll be thinking, so-and-so needs a call. I need a check on so-and-so who's in the hospital. I'm living proof of someone who used to hunger and thirst for many things, but who found out that Jesus is the only way, the only person that can truly satisfy my soul, my heart, and my life. Let us pray. Lord God, I pray for those that are listening. May they hunger and thirst for you in Jesus' name. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.